Basically, I'm Martin Boyle. I was born in Scotland. I was brought into the national Australian national selection at the age of 25 years old. And basically, that's a long story. Basically, going back to the start of my career, I was brought up to a city called Edinburgh, which is capital of Scotland, in case people didn't know. And I moved up to Aberdeen, which is about 2.5 hours away, due to dad's work. So it was kind of out the way, away from all of the busy cities. And yeah, I started growing up. I always had a passion for football or soccer, as you may call it, maybe, from a young age. And it was quite tough, being brought up in such a small city, which was kind of secluded away from the big cities, only having one professional football team up there. I mean, I didn't have a lot of opportunities as a young individual, as probably other people might have. So I didn't really have, what would you say, a youth academy or an upbringing like that. It was just really playing part-time football, playing boys' club, or really with my friends after school or whatever. And pretty much growing up, I would probably say I was a tiny boy. I hadn't matured or anything like that. And then I went into, I started a, after I left school, I went into a college to do a sport and fitness degree, which I only done 1 year of a HNC. And by then I was playing part-time football. I mean, I was a young boy around 18, 17 year old. And that's when it really kind of took off. One day I was playing with my mates in the under 17s, and the next day I was training in the first team. So yeah, it was quite a jump. I mean, I was quite a skinny lad. I hadn't developed like anyone else, and I was thrown into a dressing room full of grown men, who at that time were part time as well, and they had jobs. So it was quite tough, but you know, I think that was probably the best thing that happened to me, learning off. You know, senior men, individuals that have been there, done that, some at top flight, and some that were just there to end their career. Yeah. So basically, I was thrown into there, and luckily I learned a lot. That kind of built up some strength and more speed. You know, things were kind of taking off quite quickly, and I got a move at the age of 18 to a professional football club called Dundee. Football club, which were full time, and they were in the Premiership, which is the top flight of Premiership football here in Scotland. So that was a big deal. I mean, I jumped from Division 3 to the top flight, which was crazy in my eyes. So yeah, I was pretty much thrown into the deep end. Like I say, I hadn't developed to that. I know I had a few good seasons at Montrose, and you know, I was thrown into the deep end, and you know, it was quite tough to start with. You know, you're playing against top athletes at the top of their game, and you know, maybe I hadn't matured, and I was a bit maybe not developed as such. And yeah, I had a few seasons there and try to break through and pretty much learn my trade. You know, it was quite tough, maybe because I hadn't physically developed like the rest of the youth team players that have came through. And by then, it was just a massive game of catch up, and luckily I did. And I got a move to the team I'm at now, which I've been for 5 years, which is Hibernian Football Club in Edinburgh. So returning back home and seeing family and friends was good. And you know, it was the same, try to break through again, and luckily I've managed that through the years. You know, I've won a few trophies, and you know, I'm still 27 years old, and I'm still learning day in, day out. And you know, thankfully everything's going well at the moment. I mean, I've suffered a few injuries in my time, which I've overcome and managed to get back to my best. So fingers crossed and touch wood that no more injuries happen and I can continue to progress. I mean, when I was growing up, I think there was, when you're growing up, when you're friends at school, I mean, for me, my biggest main aim is pace. I mean, I'd say I'm relatively fast. And I knew I had that strength that no one else had growing up. And like I say, when I was at Montrose, I mean, I was playing against part-time men who were probably working through the day, and you know, a little speedy guy coming to play football, come up against them could be quite challenging for them. And I felt like if there was any ball over the top or anything in behind, then I knew I would get to it. But in terms of growing up, yeah, I think being fast kind of helped me where I am. I wouldn't say I was the most technically gifted football player. You know, I was still very raw. I mean, I could dribble with the ball and like I said, I had that explosive pace. But I mean, I wasn't the finished article, and I still haven't. But I think I had that advantage over everyone else in the position that I had. And obviously, as I'm growing up and turned into a full-time, you know, professional, and I have been for the last 10 years, is, you know, it's been good. Obviously, playing football every day is something that you love, and you know, you have that time on the training pitch where you can learn and get better. And you know, I can also work on my crossing, I can work on goal scoring opportunities, and I can also work on myself scoring goals. And obviously I can work on development of my strength that I have been over the last few years, and you know, the balance, which is key for a fast player, so I can't get shrugged off the ball as easy. But in terms of me growing up, I mean people in my school there was far better football players in my school, and some people, you know, they didn't quite get the opportunity or the dead, or they didn't take it as well as I did. I mean, I had to do a lot of sacrifices in my time, and I never gave up as well, which is key as well. I mean, if you get any knockbacks in your career, it's important to not give up. There's always going to be another route. I mean, in terms of me, I didn't just jump straight into the deep end. I worked my way up from the bottom, and thankfully got to the top of Scottish football, and hopefully my journey can take me somewhere else. But yeah, in terms of that, I mean, I didn't know particularly that, I mean, this journey would take me this far. I mean, I'm quite surprised myself, and you know, I appreciate every time I step on the pitch or anyone, any training or any aspects of the sport. Or, you know, it's kind of still surreal for myself and for my family as well, who are very proud. And yeah, I'd probably say never give up, and always work on things that you could do better on. And like I say, I'm still trying to do that now. I was 17 years old when I made my professional debut for Montrose, which was a part-time club. And funnily enough, it was against the team I'm at now, Hibernian, who are in the Premiership at their home ground, which was massive for a small club like us. I mean, I think it was like the Thursday I got called up, and he said that I'd be in the squad, which was a bit surreal. I mean, I was shaking and everything. I couldn't sleep the last few days. You know, we've got like 1,000-seater, well, standing stadium for Montrose. You know, we average like 500 fans, 400 fans a game. And then going in there, you know, a major cup game like that at Easter Road, where their ground is at Hibs. I mean, I think there was like 12,000 on the day, which was a bit surreal. And, you know, thankfully I was in the squad, and, you know, I made the bench. And thankfully I got about 15, 20 minutes at the end. I mean, we were down 5-0, but obviously to make my professional debut at such a high level, you know, I think that's kind of, that moment spurred me on. I mean, they're the moments that you want to be doing. You want to be playing in front of crowds like that, you know, crowds and fans like that are unbelievable. And, you know, I still get goosebumps for stepping out in front of big crowds to the day. And, you know, I've played in front of much bigger crowds. But I think that'll always stand out to me, what that moment meant. And, you know, if I dug deep and I kept my head down and worked hard, then, you know, I could get to you know, a team like that. And yeah, thankfully I did. And hopefully my journey has got a lot more to go. I think the hardest thing for being professional at a young age is obviously the sacrifices that you have to make. I mean, you'll have busy schedules. As a young boy, you'll probably have longer days, more than the first team or whatever. I mean, when we were growing up, you have jobs to do, such as clean a professional's boots and learn the trade and pick up all the gear after training and stuff like that. And you know, in terms of making your sacrifices, is probably not going out with your friends on a Friday or a Saturday night when you have games the next day, and obviously, I mean, you're missing out on a lot with them, and you'll probably have some boys' holidays and stuff like that you'll have to miss, because, you know, the seasons go on through the summer. And, you know, it's just little sacrifices like that can probably make you, you know, separate you from the rest. You know, if you're willing to make changes like that and put the time and effort in to your training, then, you know, I'm sure you'll succeed. And, you know, listen to the advice along the way from your coaches and your managers. And yeah, I think little sacrifices like that I had to make. And, you know, obviously moving away from your family as well can be quite challenging, but at the end of the day, me growing up, I'm doing something that I love every day, which is special. And, you know, it's a short career and you have to make the most of what you have. So that's, you always have to remember that as well. Obviously winning my first championship with Dundee, not sure how old I was, I think it was 20. You know, it was unbelievable. I mean, I didn't play much through the half of the season, but the second part of the season I played a big part. A new manager came in. It was a new lease of life for me. I got given the chance and thankfully went on and clutched the title on the last day. It was a helicopter day, so it was us and another team could have won it. So the helicopter was circling the stadium, so it was special. I think there was like 12 to 14,000 people coming along. And yeah, we won 2-1. There was a massive pitch invasion. I had my whole family there. My girlfriend, now wife, was there. So yeah, it was memorable. You know, we lifted the trophy. And yeah, we had big party, big celebrations. I mean, I kind of went AWOL. I think my girlfriend at the time wasn't happy. I went out for a good week. And then we went to Ibiza with the boys for the week. So yeah, it was special. You know what you say? The days like that don't come around often, so you have to obviously make the most of them. And I think it pushes you on, because obviously you want to do more of that. You know, you want to succeed more. And you know, like I say, it might never happen again. And thankfully, I've managed to win two Scottish championships and a Scottish Cup with Hibs, with the team I'm at now, which is probably, if people don't know, it's the biggest cup competition in Scotland. I'm not sure if I'm correct saying this, but it might have been the oldest cup competition in football or something like that. But in terms of that, it's a massive, it doesn't get any bigger in Scotland than winning that cup. And thankfully we won it, which was unbelievable. I mean, I think I had about 15 family members there. I mean, I had my wife's family there, I had everyone. And yeah, there was a massive pitch invasion. We beat Rangers, who are, you know, globally iconic. They're an unbelievable side, and thankfully we managed to beat them 3-2 on the day. So yeah, it was memorable. We had a massive bus open tour bus through the city of Edinburgh. I think there was like 250,000 people came out, which was incredible. I mean, the streets were flooded, and like you say, I didn't realise the size of the club until I signed there, how big it was and how massive it was representing a club like that. And you know, like you say, I'll say it again, I mean, days like that don't come around often. You know, you have to treasure them. For me to get selected for the Socceroos, you know, it's a fascinating story. I mean, my dad was born in Sydney, and he also moved back over, and et cetera, et cetera. I was born over here, so I hadn't actually been to Australia, which was quite extraordinary for anyone representing the Socceroos. But we had Jamie McLaren and Mark Milligan representing Hibs. And when they came in, I mean, I'd said that as a joke, that, you know, I could represent Australia and stuff like that. And, you know, they also, I was performing well with a club team, and, you know, they were deep in the squad. And, you know, Mark Milligan's been a legend. He's played at 4 World Cups, and his stature speaks for itself. And, you know, the manager came over, Graham Arnold came over, and he was coming to see them boys. And, you know, they kind of name dropped me, and, you know, I had a meeting. Had a meeting with Arnie, and basically he came to watch me the next day, and thankfully I'd done quite well. And you know, he asked me if I wanted to come along to a camp in Dubai. I mean, there was no game of that. It was just a training camp, just to see how I would fit in or how I would like it. And yeah, I said yeah, and you know, and I was I'd probably say I was way out of my depth. I couldn't believe what was happening. Straight after training, I phoned my wife, my dad, and you know, he said that I would be named in the squad, and obviously my dad was very proud, and the family. And you know, when the name got squad, and the squad got named, you know, some incredible names playing at the high, you know, Premiership football, you know, the best league in the world in England. And you know, it was kind of surreal, and you know, I was kind of just shivering in my boots waiting for that flight to get over there. And you know, it was brilliant. I mean, I don't ever look back. I don't regret my decision, as I could have represented Scotland. you know, they made me feel welcomed as a family. And thankfully it worked out. You know, I must have impressed in training before I got selected in the squad for the South Korea and Lebanon friendlies in Brisbane and Sydney, which was good. I mean, Arnie pulled me aside and said that, you know, I could get called up and show what I can do over in home soil. And yeah, I think it was, it was an extraordinary time. And, you know, I've had about numerous press conferences saying that it's my first time in Australia, it was kind of weird. And I mean, I think probably homegrown people over there might look at it thinking, well, he wasn't actually brought up through the youth system or anything like that, which I can totally agree. But you know, I had to try and prove them wrong about the decision of me representing Australia. And, you know, obviously I had to go out there and prove that I was worthy of pulling on the shirt, and, you know, making sure that it meant everything to me, and, you know, fitting in. Obviously I was through my dad's blood, and, you know, he's born and bred Australian. So to make that decision, you know, like I say, I don't look back, and thankfully I done well. And, you know, in the Lebanon game, I actually started and scored two goals and set up one, which was incredible. You know, it was Tim Cahill's last game. So it was an unbelievable send off. And yeah, I mean, Tim Cahill represented my shirt to me. He gave me the shirt after the game. It was all signed from the boys, and, you know, he made a massive speech, which I'm pretty sure will, I don't know where you can find it. It might be on YouTube or something. But yeah, it was an incredible speech from an iconic Australian legend himself. And yeah, I think I think it still hasn't sunk in that I'm representing, you know, such a big nation. And, you know, hopefully I can do them proud and continue to do so. I think obviously thinking about life after sport I think it's massive, because in football, it's not a long career. I mean, you need to think about things such as injuries or you know, other things like that. It might not go well, you might get released from your club or stuff like that. I think it's always at the back of your mind. And then, well, not obviously at the back of your mind, you can't be approaching games, etc., thinking about that. But I think one day, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of players out there that have retired and, you know, have went into depression, etc. like that. They haven't fallen back on anything, or they haven't had anything from behind them. And, you know, I think it's getting big now. I mean, the opportunities that, you know, professional football players are getting after their careers to probably learn a trade or a course such as online, because I feel like we have a lot of spare time in our hands. As much as we're away from families and training, etc., we do have a lot of spare time. And, you know, I think it keeps me busy as well. You know, I got the email about this course, and I think it was just something that, obviously, when I finish my career, that it might be something that I'll take up. You know, I'm really invested in it just now, and I'm really enjoying it. And yeah, it might be something at the end of my career that can hopefully take off or not. But like you say, hopefully I've still got another good couple of years left in me. And, you know, I think it's massive. I mean, looking at the younger generation that are coming through now, I know that they are getting education classes about life after sport as well, so they are learning in little trades, getting brought up as well. Obviously, I didn't have that opportunity when I was younger, because I wasn't a pro footballer. I didn't have an academy or that. So yeah, I think it's massive to obviously look into, you know, your life after a career. I mean, it could be something small. I mean, it could be something that to pass your time, etc. But like I say, there'll come a day where, you know, you'll hang up your boots and you'll be left in the real world. When you leave your club, I think that's it. There'll be no ties unless you do maybe your coaching badges and your UEFA licenses that can enable you to be a coach or whatever, and you might get brought back into the staff or something like that. But in terms of, you know, education and stuff over here, there's something called the PFA, which is basically the big organisation that look after clients in Scotland that are always emailing about, you know, job opportunities and educational courses, just like yourselves. So yeah, there's loads of stuff like that. There's also things like if you get released from your team, that there's like exit trials where you could potentially go there, do well, and you know, get picked up by another team. But yeah, I think the PFA are quite big over here about, you know, life after football. You know, they've got all the help you need when you do retire and hang up the boots. Because obviously going back to a lot of people getting you know, depression and stuff like that, you know, they can't really believe it's over. And but yeah, I think it's became, the last few years over here has become massive. You know, we're getting a lot more things sent through the email, and you know, people come to visit us, you know, maybe asking what you want to do after sport. And like I said, there's a lot of courses out there, you know, it could be building, electrical engineering, stuff like that. And also, you know, fitness side of things and personal training. And obviously the bigger picture is probably a lot of footballers would want to be coaches or managers or things like that. So yeah, I think there's loads of things that you could fall back into. And, you know, I think if you give it the time, then I don't see why not, that, you know, you couldn't graduate from a course. Yeah, obviously growing up, I think in terms of being a youngster, and obviously you have to balance both, you know, football and maybe you're doing a degree at the same time. But in terms of, you could probably turn a professional footballer and still hopefully do a degree at night time. Hopefully you can manage it on. Or sometimes professional footballer won't come around, I mean, as often as you want. So going back to taking that, you know, that that big steps and, you know, into the unknown, and maybe the sacrifices that you probably wouldn't take, is probably, you know, if you really wanted to be a professional footballer, that is the sacrifice that you would have to take. You know, obviously giving up something else that you could maybe return to later on in your career, or you can continue to do so and hopefully balance it out over a professional career. But yeah, I mean, if there's one thing I would say is obviously never give up. You know, I mean, I never gave up. I mean, I just came from the bottom and just, you know, kept my head down, worked away, and, you know, thankfully hard work and dedication has got me where I am at the moment. And like I say, not everyone will be, you know, fortunate and lucky as I am, but I think if you're really dedicated and you really want it, then I don't see why it's not in front of you. Yeah, I mean, doing this course has been brilliant. You know, I'm learning things every week with yourself. And going into this pandemic, obviously, has given me a much more time to get stuff done in terms of the case studies, etc., that we've been doing on the side. And I think we started before the pandemic as well, so we were way ahead of that. But yeah, like I say, it's being a professional footballer, sometimes you have a lot of free time, and, you know, this was something that I wanted to, you know, I was keen and eager to look up on. And after receiving the call from you and, you know, going through it step by step, it was, you know, it was a no-brainer. And, you know, we haven't looked back since. And yeah, hopefully we can get through this and, you know, have the degree at the end of it. And you can say that I've done it. In terms of it's helping me as well, obviously, by doing this, that hopefully I have the knowledge and understanding of when I'm training, and you know, I can obviously give advice to the younger generation coming through, and obviously I'm still learning myself, and hopefully I can help players, even if it's just little tiny things based in the gym or something major. So yeah, I mean, learning new skills is massive. And like you say, if you've got a lot of spare time in your hands, and I mean, I played a lot of Xbox myself, so try to balance that with Xbox is, you know, it's quite good. And, you know, obviously speaking to the wife as well, and balancing that is, you know, she's been very supportive. And, you know, at the end of this, there might be a career for me at the end of this after football as well, so which is always good. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would recommend this course 100%. Like you say, it's something there for other athletes that, you know, I'd probably imagine they'd be very keen on it. Like I say, if they're not sure what it's about, then obviously get in touch. And, you know, like I did, was, you know, there's no harm in emailing or picking up the phone to see what it's actually about. And like yourself, you'll give the information, and, you know, there's no right or wrong. I mean, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. But in terms of me, I've loved it every step of it. I mean, I was going into the unknown. I didn't know what to expect, but it's been you know, it's been simplified, and you know, you're learning and you're picking up the books, and obviously it's been well managed through Zoom calls with yourself, which is obviously we're in different parts of the world, which is, you know, which is another thing, which is good communication as well. So no, there's a lot of skills along the way, and I'd highly recommend it, like you say. For me, I was thinking about, you know, different career paths along the way, and I mean, if I had this behind me, then, you know, that's something that I would like to take up, you know, even if I do hang up the boots and I have to pick something else. So, you know, it's helped me along the ways, and I just don't see how it wouldn't help other people. You know, it's highly enjoyable, and I mean, I'm enjoying it through hard work. You're learning different skills and different aspects of what your body is and what you can produce. And yeah, so it's brilliant. I haven't looked back, and yeah, I've been loving it. Learning through Zoom's been, obviously the first time I've done it is when you introduced me to yourself and we had that meeting about the course. And obviously the technical side of stuff is you can control stuff in my laptop, which is extraordinary. You know, you can share through stuff, and you know, whilst in case I'm typing anything wrong, you can help me along the way and give examples, etc. And you know, the communication is brilliant. You know, we do it twice a week, and you know, maybe at the start we thought the communication might have been a bit up and down with the times, but you know, we've managed, got it done. And I mean, if you can do it from Australia to Scotland, I don't see why you can't do it anywhere else in the continent. And also we have Bodine, who's in our calls as well, which is good. And you know, you're meeting other people in different sports, and you know, big names that are, you know, you're out there doing the same thing, and obviously they're obviously thinking life after their careers as well. And yeah, you know, you're meeting, obviously we became friends, and you can meet different people along the way, and it's been unbelievable what you've been doing. Life after sport, like you say, hopefully I have another good 7 years under my belt. I don't really set myself targets or goals. Obviously, I'd want to keep performing and from a club, staying injury free, and obviously gain to the highest, you know, point in professional football, which is obviously a higher division. You never know. You know, a guy like me, he's also got dreams of playing a higher level, probably in England in the Premiership, which obviously would be any boy's dream. But I think in terms of just working away. And keeping the head down, enjoying life, you know, being a professional footballer has its benefits, and you know, the family are proud to have a little daughter, and hopefully she can come along and keep supporting me at the games. And doing this is also going to help me. I mean, if it doesn't work out in the next few years, and hope I can fall back onto this. And I'm not 100% sure what will be after this, and you'll probably need to fill me in with that information. But in terms of this, I'm enjoying it, and hopefully I can do as much as possible and learn everything I can. But probably my best advice is, like I said, I think I've said it multiple times, is never give up. I mean, if you really want it, if you really have the dedication and you want it, and the sacrifices that you can make along the way, I mean, the benefits in football or any other sport that you're participating in will have massive, massive implications on your life. I mean, it could be life-changing in terms of football. I mean, if you never give up and you reach the top, I mean, that could be life-changing in terms of the money you make. And the financial gain that you can get and stuff like that, obviously, if that's your target. But in terms of me, as I was a boy, I never wanted to give up. All I wanted to do was be a professional footballer, and I haven't looked back. And you know, I think I don't set myself any targets or goals. I just try to be the best I can, and leave everything in training, and leave everything on the pitch, week in, week out. Hi, my name is Martin Boyle. I'm a professional football player for Hibernian Football Club in Scotland. And I'm making my tomorrow better than today.